Hello, my name is Chip Lang. You're listening to Total EM. Today I have with me Clay Smith, and he is with EM Topics. He does an amazing daily posting about, well, different topics in emergency medicine. Without further ado, I want to have Clay introduce himself.
Yeah, hey, I'm Clay Smith. I work at Vanderbilt Medical Center in Nashville, Tennessee. Most of the time, I'm just teaching residents and medical students and just practicing emergency medicine. But I also have this kind of side hustle, emtopics.com, and it's a way to get the best current literature as well as some landmark articles and put it right in front of you every day through just getting it right in your email inbox. And so I try to do really concise, short attention span summaries so that you'll, you know, actually get something out of it and read it. So that's kind of what led to us getting together today.
Right. And I really love the spoon-fed portion because a lot of these articles, I enjoy reading them, but it's something that I'm first waking up in the morning. I'm usually checking my email. I've got a ton of different things because I listen or read a bunch of different podcasts and blogs, and I have all these things sent to me email-wise. And you know, I see the quick headline. If it's something I find interesting, I'll click on the headline. It'll send me the link. But in yours, it's great because you send one article a day, you send one review a day, and I get to read the spoon-fed portion. In a paragraph, I decide, is this something I really want to read more? And even if it's not something I want to read more, maybe it's something I'm like, I'll deal with it another time, or when I have some downtime later, maybe I'll look at it versus right now when I'm waking up or when I have a moment. It's brilliant because I still learn something in that paragraph. I'm not just saying, oh, flashy headline. It's not clickbait for my email, basically. It actually has some usable information right off the bat.
Yeah, I try to pick it with the thought that, you know, each article is either really important or relevant, or there's some kind of teaching point in it that I'm trying to get across. You know, I'm going to be talking about this upcoming month about loperamide overdosing and how this is being done more commonly. It's not like that's just a outstanding article, but there's a really good teaching point in it that, you know, I want to convey. So it's just good stuff. Try to be well-balanced, kind of give a, you know, get your veggies, get your meat.
Well, I like that because for me, I think FOMED is more than just the classic, well, let's talk about the current research, because sometimes the current research isn't always the strongest, but it ties in with an important topic. And I noticed, I even last night, I had a student that I was doing this with where we're talking about the research that was currently available to help base our guidelines and then looking at some of the stuff in the past. And you do a great job with old articles too. You actually threw me off once because you did the PCAR not too long ago. I thought, wait a second, that's an old article. Well, then I realized that you were doing a quick review on it. And I think even for the old stuff, it's worth getting those big landmark papers reviewed because of what they can imply and just be a refresher if nothing else.
Yeah, you know, Academic Life and Emergency Medicine put out their 52 and 52. So it's kind of what they consider to be the 52 landmark articles that you ought to read once a week. And they put out this list. And so what I did is every Saturday now, I'll take one article from that list. And starting in January, I've just been going through every Saturday one of those key landmark articles, like, you know, why do we not give more fluid and try to raise blood pressure in people who already have penetrating trauma? You know, those classic articles, the things like PCAR and the things like basically everything that Ian Steele writes.
No, that's so true, especially with his landmark research is amazing. But no, I really like that. So you brought a paper with you today for us to discuss. It's actually going to be one that's going to be released the same time that we're going to release this podcast. So if you're listening to this podcast fresh out, go to Clay's page and you can read it there as well. And we'll try and include a link in the show notes as well, because this is a really good article for a very unique reason. So Clay, go ahead and tell us about this.
So there is a group, it's the same group that put out the fellow trial talking about apneic oxygenation in the ICU. Well, they've come out with a new study, and it was early release in May, and it was published in Chest. And it's called a multi-center randomized trial of ramped position versus sniffing position during endotracheal intubation of critically ill adults. Now, the gist of it was there is a lot of anesthesia literature that talks about the beneficial aspects of the ramped position especially in morbidly obese patients, because the thinking is if you put someone in a ramped position, it's going to improve their functional residual capacity, and it's going to prolong their apneic period without desaturation. Also, there are several studies that suggest that it not only is better as far as prolonging that apneic period without desat, also you seem to have improved mechanics for actually passing the tube and improved first pass success and, you know, glottic visualization. It's interesting too, because there's a study that just came out, early release in February, in American Journal of Emergency Medicine out of Indiana. And for every 5-degree elevation of the head of the bed, the first pass success rate went up like 11%. And so there's some pretty compelling reasons to use a ramped position. And so these guys said, hey, we know from the anesthesia literature that this is a good thing, but it's really not been studied in the ICU setting. And so that's what they set about to do. And they did a fantastic job with it. It was a multi-center trial at 4 centers in the Southeast, and it was randomized. Patients would either be placed in the sniffing position or the ramped position. And they ended up enrolling 260 adult patients. And what they were looking for is the primary outcome. They wanted to see if one would have superior oxygenation over the other. You know, what was going to be the lowest arterial oxygen saturation for the ramped versus the sniffing? And their hypothesis was that ramped would be better. So they had a secondary outcome where they wanted to look at the Cormick-Lehane glottic view, difficulty of intubation, the number of attempts, the first pass success, that kind of thing. So now we'll sort of get into what it is that they actually found. So as they started into this, they found that the ramped position didn't have any statistically significant difference in the lowest oxygen saturation compared to the sniffing position. But it was interesting. There was certainly a non-significant trend across all subgroups favoring the ramped position. And I put that figure into the write-up that I did. They also found that difficulty of intubation was greater in the ramped position. And this was across the spectrum of body mass index. There were more attempts needed and more use of the bougie. So at first blush, you look at this and you say, wow, ramped position didn't improve oxygenation, at least not statistically significantly, and it made it harder for them to intubate. But there are several things that we need to take into consideration here. Number one, it could have been due to the relative inexperience of the intubators and that they weren't familiar with the ramped position. Most of the fellows that were involved in this trial had done about 60 intubations compared to the anesthesia literature, which was done by senior anesthesiologists. So there, you know, there's an experience issue, and maybe they hadn't intubated in that position before. But what concerned me the most as I read this paper is their description of the ramped position is really different than the anesthesia studies that I've seen in the past. And it's different really than the ramped position that I use in practice. I put in the blog post on emtopics.com a picture that they had of what they did for the ramped position, but I'll just describe it in words, and I'll quote from the study. It says, quote, "The patient will be moved toward the head of the bed until the head and neck are resting on the edge of the mattress. Keeping the lower half of the bed flat, the head of the bed will be raised to an angle of 25 degrees. The patient's face will be parallel to the ceiling with neck in slight extension, torso at 25 degrees, and legs parallel to the ceiling." So you kind of get a picture. They scooted them up to where their head's hanging off the edge of the bed and their face is facing the ceiling, and the head of the bed's elevated 25 degrees. So it's actually not slight extension of the neck with that. It's quite marked extension of the neck if you look at the picture that they include. Now, if you compare this with an image from the traditional table ramp position in one of the classic anesthesia studies where they looked at, instead of cramming piles and piles of blankets and sheets and bedpans and towels underneath the patient's back and neck and head. They actually did the sniffing position, but they just elevated the head of the bed. Well, I am really concerned that the ramped position in this study, they called it the checkup study, produced excessive cervical extension rather than head elevation. And the problem with that is that it could have increased the line of sight and laryngeal axes. So meaning you make it harder for yourself if you hyperextend the neck when you try to intubate, as opposed to having it in the sniffing position. There's a lot of debate about that, but there's some really great MRI studies, and I've got a picture on there that shows what happens with those angles in neck hyperextension versus the sniffing position. So really, I mean, the ideal ramped position should just be the sniffing position, just with head of the bed elevation. So while this was a really good study, it was really well executed. It's a randomized trial. Obviously, it couldn't be blinded and had a good number of patients. It turned out to be a negative study, but I think I'm taking this negative study with a grain of salt. And the thinking that I have is there was a trend toward improved oxygenation in the ramped position across every subgroup. And that was in spite of the fact that it actually took longer to get the tube in the ramped group versus the sniffing position. And I think their difficulty with more attempts needed to get the airway in the ramped position, it could have been due to excessive hyperextension with the way they chose to do the ramped position. So that's kind of the gist of this study.
Do you think another part of that, just going off the last little bit you said, would be, again, these are people who are not necessarily using the anesthesia approach of ramping a patient and are most likely people who are not familiar with the technique, which is why you're kind of studying this usually, that maybe this is part of the reason why, too, if they had a hyperextended position more so than what would have been appropriate in most cases, pile that onto the fact that they are looking at basically a situation where the intubator is not in their optimal type setting. So it's going to be harder while they're actually doing these live intubations to get a good position and get a good tube in. Maybe that's also another reason why it could have taken longer in that group than, say, the traditional sniffing position that they may have been accustomed to already.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's true. There's a study that was in, it was a Korean paper. And in that paper, they found that it was easier to pass the tube in the ramped position, but that the less experienced trainees had a little more difficulty than the experienced anesthesiologists. And so I think what that tells you is there is an element of experience here. The ramped position is different. The angles are different. The approach is different. You really kind of have to make sure that the head of the bed isn't too high and that you can really reach over and get in good position as the intubator. And so it could have simply been a lack of familiarity with it.
Now, another point, because you did mention it so well, but just to reemphasize this, although this was a negative study, there were trends, and sometimes it's not statistical significance we need to worry about, but what about clinical significance? Is this a patient that would have actually had significant benefit had we actually kept them in a ramped position versus the sniffing position as far as oxygen saturation? That was the primary outcome they were looking at.
Right.
And for me, when I see about clinically important outcomes and how that affects my practice, yes, this did not actually trend statistically, but clinically, this may be something that you want to look and investigate further, whether that's as this group or on your own. But ultimately, this is something I don't think you should ignore just because it didn't reach statistical significance.
Right. I think that would be a mistake. And I also think it would be a mistake to really throw the baby out with the bathwater here and say, oh, wow, yeah, The ramped is no better than the sniffing, so we don't need to do that anymore. You know, I don't think this is the study that's going to tell us that. If anything, this study says, you know, the ramped had a pretty significant trend toward being better, even with longer intubation times. And again, not statistically significant, but mortality numbers were a little higher in the patients that were in the sniffing position. And so you kind of go, I don't think we better give up the ramp position just yet, at least not on the basis of this study. It's a very well done study. I actually know these people that did it. Some of them are at Vanderbilt. But I think it helps us, but I don't think that it's definitive for me giving up the ramp position, especially not in a morbidly obese patient. I mean, they have no FRC and they are going to desat so fast, it'll make your head spin. And so I definitely think that the ramp position is still important.
Well, you just touched on it very briefly there, but it's an important point. Is oxygen saturation actually something that is a patient-oriented outcome, or is it the mortality that's a patient-oriented outcome? Now, given it's harder to power for mortality differences, things like that, but oxygenation is an important factor. I'm not saying it's not, but it's one that it's easier to measure, which is why we're usually using it. But we really need to look at the end differences. Morbidity, mortality, for example, is this someone longer on the vent if they were intubating the sniffing versus in the rant position? Were these people who had required more attempts, so they have more risk of complications, more airway edema, stuff like that? All these are factors we need to consider, because if it's a good airway technique and we have this patient in appropriate position, really, in most research that's out there, the ramp position is actually better than the sniffing position. It was just interesting that this paper fights otherwise, but I don't think we should discount that yet, because again, there are some obvious flaws with this paper, and enough so that I think it's good for us to go over this paper, not just because of its flaws, but because I feel like this is the paper that some people are going to later quote and say, well, Chip, I don't think we should be doing a ramp position because this paper says that there's no real benefit towards it. Well, yes and no. You need to look into the detail a little bit more and you'll find out that maybe this actually isn't the case. So for me, I feel like you still need to know about this paper because there are people who may start using it or may try to use it as far as, well, I read this spoon-fed article to me, this, you know, one paragraph, and it tells me this. Well, did it tell you this or did it tell you another version? Did you read the whole thing? Did you understand the paper? To me, that's a big part of this. And this is why I enjoy talking about this paper in more detail.
Right. You know, I've got a link to EM Nerd. Rory Spiegel did a fantastic write-up on this. And as he always does, you know, it has the Sherlock Holmes, the case of the anatomic inaccuracy. It's fantastic. And he gets into this a little deeper. So if you want to dive deep, there's some more resources and links, and you can read some more. It's great stuff as always. He's brilliant.
Sounds like another link we'll need to add to the show notes there. So take a look at that, guys, once we get that up and running. All right, so do you have any sort of final thoughts with this paper, or did we cover that pretty well?
No, I think we've covered it well. I think the summary for me is a good paper. I think it shows us maybe the ramped position wasn't quite as important as we thought it was when used outside the ICU, but I think there are some concerns that I have with the technique that make me say, let's don't give up on the ramped position just yet.
Couldn't agree with you more. Again, thank you, Clay, so much for coming on. You've been a wonderful guest, and I hope we can do this again in the future. Hopefully next time it'll be a little easier to record than what happened to us today. But so glad you stuck it out with me there.
It's all good, man. So glad to be with you.
So without further ado, I guess let's go ahead and end the show. And if you could give us the tagline, please.
All right. Until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.
Thank you for downloading another episode of Total EM. We want to thank our bandwidth sponsor, FunnyRx, for sponsoring this show. You can also see them on our website, but we also have included links to their website, funnyrx.com. Again, thank you, FunnyRx, for sponsoring this episode.